stars. This is how it was supposed to be. And in this sense, he tells them, this is in fact the way it was going to go. Remember that the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. That the only way in which you could really move forward in life and faith is to understand that there is something afoot that which you have no control over. Something you could not have imagined from the beginning. This isn't a popular religious teacher coming on and tapping into your potential that's just kind of locked down inside. If I could just fire you up a little bit more, then maybe you might go out and make some noise. There's really nothing in us for that to happen. This is something that Jesus had to do on his own in such a dramatic and powerful way. And in fact, he had to go and to die for our sins, to do what we could not have ever done for ourselves. This was part of God's plan from the beginning, to rescue people who were in darkness. But the second step is that he had to teach them about repentance. This is part of God's plan from the beginning, is the thing that he offers all along the way. He comes and to die for our sins, but he wants to say that there is going to need to be a change in us. There is no gospel story. There is no gospel truth. There is nothing in scriptures that talks about gospel reality without that word. And it is a good word, friends. I want to just highlight this word, repentance. Repentance is not go therefore and be Eeyores from Winnie the Pooh. Woe is me. Repentance is first, a change of mind. That is, we've been thinking wrong. We've been thinking about ourselves. We've been thinking about truth in ways that are actually quite false. And we have to change how we think. And I tell you what, there's nothing more powerful in terms of changing how you think as seeing something that shouldn't happen. Someone who was supposed to be dead, who's now alive in your presence, saying, touch and feel. Hey, you don't believe this? Hand me a fish. I'll eat it. That'll change your brain real quick. The change of mind, but repentance also has a second piece to that point. It's a turning around. That is to say, it is going in a particular direction and just saying, it's turning your heel and walking the other way. The mind is what has to stop the feet, and then the will is what gets the feet moving all along the way. And repentance is the very thing that Jesus says is to be a part of the gospel truth. That is to say, when you repent, you change your mind. You change how you think about the world, and then you start going in a different direction. It's not religious speak. It's actually living your life in a different way. And the last piece of this is that they're meant to be witnesses. Go. No more sitting around. I think it's very easy in terms of a religious life, and particularly in a Christian religious life, to just say, I want to fly, but I'm okay with 30 feet. In a lawn chair with some food and beverages. We often look at the Christian life this way. That, you know what, it's nice to have a little bit of God thrown in. It's nice that we become moral people. It's nice that we, you know, live in communities that are supportive and loving. And you know what, if we could just hover at 30, 50 feet, it's all I need. But 18,000 feet is what the resurrection gives to a Christian. Actually, even more than that. It's not merely seeing your town or the state of California. It's viewing the world from a different angle. We're meant to not sit around. We're meant to go out and live our lives in a way that has completely different meaning. It's not just a tuning of the car. It's actually getting a whole new, complete engine overhaul. And we're meant to go up to 18,000 feet. We're meant to see the world in an entirely new way so that others might see it as well. And it does not mean that you go off and you become a missionary in a third world country. It does not mean that you put a box on a street corner and start preaching and putting signs. It just doesn't work very well. What it actually means, though, is that in the turning around, the changing of your mind and walking in a different direction, that you actually live with a power and a joy that you've never had before, and you do it in the midst of the life that the Lord has put you in the midst of the workplace that you live in the midst of the connections you have with family and with friends and colleagues in the community, the ways in which you decide to do things that you wouldn't normally do, like volunteering to feed people in need, volunteering to go on a mission trip, volunteering to help serve and lead Bible studies for women in tough straits. These are the kinds of things that happen in many of the lives of the people of our church as well. And there is a witnessing going on that is not sitting around. It's not just hovering at 30 feet and I'll shoot a few balloons when I come back down. You got to strap yourself in for this ride. And it's a fun one. But let me tell you about what the disciples did. The disciples were sitting around, and Jesus met them and said, remember what this was about, and now it's time for repentance for you, and you're going to go out and be witnesses to this truth. Some went into the known world at the time. Some were just in the region in which they lived. It didn't matter, but we know at least 10 of the 12 went to their deaths for the truth that they witnessed that Easter morning. And we have people this today throughout the world who are doing the very same thing, that they are going to their graves, not denying the truth that they know, that Jesus is alive and well, and they will not just sit around. They will not just see life through. C.S. Lewis has a great quote in Mere Christianity, in which he writes, the church exists for nothing more than this, than to draw men to Christ, to make them little Christs. And if they're not doing that, all the cathedrals, the buildings, all the clergy, the pastors, the missions, the sermons, even the Bible itself are a complete waste of time, because God became man for no other purpose. It is even doubtful, you know, whether the whole universe was created for any other purpose. It was made for Christ and for everything in this world to be gathered to Him. And of friends, that the world is not gathered to Him when we hover at 30 feet. We are forgiven and free by what the cross has done for us. We do not need to look back into our past and to atone for what is there. We do not need to prove our worth to this God to show Him that we have something intrinsic in us that proves that we're worth Him dying for us. We all have fallen and fall short of the glory of God, and yet He came to die for our sins. It was His plan from the beginning. He wants us to repent, change the mind, and turn around to see that what He did was true. And these people thought it was so true, not a mirage, not a dream, not some kind of religiosity that they might kind of employ in their daily lives. They went out and they laid down theirs because it was true. We just can't sit around. 18,000 feet and more is waiting because He rose from the dead. For you, in your life, wherever you are, He wants you to be His witnesses to the world. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You so much for the truth of the cross, that forgiveness of sins was purchased for us there. And yet now, even now, let us do that very thing that You have asked, to repent. Change our minds about those things of which we are wrong, and to turn around from a life that we pursue on our own to follow You. And help us to be witnesses of these things. Not a nice religious story, not some simple moralisms that we employ, but that the gospel is that God so loved us so much that He died for us and rose again that we might follow Him in newness of life. Lord, help us then to no longer just sit around. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. His name we pray. Amen. Please stand.